Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But it is a little after 5 o'clock, which means Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com.
See what happens when Evan's not here? This Cinco de Fivo is kind of on time.
Yeah, the brakes have been on time as well, I might add. Some quarterbacks aren't backups after all now, are they? All right. I'm going to give you here, as we start the Thursday of the Combine workouts, men running in underwear, the five greatest Combine memories of all time. Let's see if we remember any of these. All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Number five happened in last year's Combine. Xavier Worthy breaks the Combine record with a 4.22 40 time. It boosted his draft stock. Clearly, the Chiefs traded up with the Bills. Morons, the Bills.
Dude,
trade
they gave him Xavier Worthy and
Patrick Mahomes. This is why, all of you out there, every year when you go, oh, I'm so tired of the Chiefs, I got to root for the Bills.
Blame the Bills.
Blame the Bills. They deserve the suffering they get.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, Keon Coleman. Yeah, we'll take him. We'll just give Xavier Worthy Chiefs morons. But yeah, Worthy, unbelievable last year with the 40 burst on every seams. All right, here we go.
Number four.
This one's a funny one. Byron Jones. Remember him, the cornerback taken by the Cowboys in the first round?
Is this the broad jump?
Yes. In 2015, he had a broad jump of 12 feet, 3 inches.
That's ridiculous.
It's the unofficial world record. Why? Guinness wasn't at hand at the Combine to do it.
Is that right?
And Byron Jones had a banged up shoulder, and he wanted to do a couple events to boost his draft stock, and he knew he could jump high, did the broad jump. And to this day, that would be the world record if Guinness was on hand.
So why wouldn't Guinness accept that? Because it's so documented. Like, first of all, it's visually documented. Like, they probably have a video of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is as meticulous as any organization in the world about little things like that.
Because what you learn here, we always hear about the Guinness World Records, is that the Guinness World Records are stupid. And they need their own personal person on hand or it does not count. So if you, and this is for anybody out there, if you plan on eating 7,400 hot dogs in one sitting on the 4th of July, it does not count unless you pre-call Guinness to get over there.
Mm.
Okay, here we go.
Number three.
I think this is timely. Deion Sanders in 1989. He did not want to compete, didn't want to do anything. He felt peer pressured. So he does. You go, all right, I'm going to give you 140. Non-televised at the time, 1989. Runs a 4.27. And instead of stopping at the clock, he takes off and runs straight into the locker room. And legend has it, not only did he run straight to the locker room, he didn't shower. He got in his limousine and left Indianapolis from there, straight from the locker room. He ran directly off the field to prove to everybody, I ran, you stupid thing.
All right, I'm done. I'm out.
I'm done. Which is so Deion. Here we go.
Number two.
The Tom Brady dad bod pick. It's iconic. And I would say that combine picture, no matter all the championships Tom Brady won, Tiki, he now looks like an awkward wax figure as a result of this picture that people still look back on.
No, it's true, because it's not who he was, but that's what he looked like
Yep.
back then.
Yep, and we always look back
on it. That's funny. I do remember that a lot. I'm I know number one isn't going to be the one that jumps to my mind, because I have this iconic moment from the combine, and I know it's not number one, but I'll hear.
Okay. All right. Before you even play them, I'm just going to preface this. Number one is number one because it's a reason or something that happened in NFL history that for some reason only I remember and I look back on YouTube every single year.
Huh.
Nobody talks about it.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Number one.
Do you remember that time at the combine that we saw a current player and future Hall of Famer's penis?
What?
That's right.
Whip out the jumbo package.
That's right. Nobody what? Knows? Do you want to guess the player before I tell you?
He's current?
Current, future Hall of Famer.
Is he so he's playing in the NFL
currently
still?
Currently in the NFL.
Future Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh.
Larry Fitzgerald?
Oh, not no. Playing. Current player.
Current player.
And we saw the whole twig and berries.
I have no idea.
Okay. It was during a 40 time. His tights ripped. And there it was.
No.
Ready to shake everybody's hand.
In all its glory.
Chris Jones of the Chiefs.
Get out
Whip
here.
Out the jumbo. You can go back and watch this online. Chris Jones takes off running his 40, and it's so massive, and the tights are so tight, his tights rip open, and it comes out like Snuffleupagus, and he then starts laughing as he's running his 40s. He tries to grab it and corral it, and he stumbles and falls down, and Rich Eisen doesn't know what to do with the call.
Shot off the draft boards immediately.
And he ends up getting drafted by the Chiefs. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. The man had a Hall of Fame package.
He's going to go into two Hall of Fames.
I'm whipping one out.
So if you've never seen this and wonder what Chris Jones is looking like down there, it's an all-time moment.
I don't remember that at all.
Yep.
That's
yep.
amazing.
Nope. And that's your Cinco de Five.
I thought you were going to go. The one that jumps to mind
it's
to me is maybe the greatest overdraft in the history of the combine.
Okay, what's that?
Mike Mamula. Don't you remember this?
Oh, that was when the Eagles took him?
You're too young. You're too young. That's probably why.
I remember
Mike
the documentary.
Had like this epic combine. Epic. I'd have to go find the numbers, but it was epic.
He killed it in multiple events,
and
right?
Everything. And he got drafted high, and then just it was like the fallacy of the combine.
Okay. And that's where they got tricked. I just went to type Chris Jones into YouTube.
Yeah.
As I'm typing Chris Jones, it says Chris Jones 40-yard dash balls fall out. 8 years ago.
It's listening to you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm going to mute that. But anyway, I'll show you in a little bit. But yeah. By the way, Keish Kavir, that's exactly why I did that at Cinco. I wanted everybody to remember that that happened, and it was unbelievable.
I don't remember it happening at all.
Now, you want to go down a rabbit hole, Tiki. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
What would you have done in that situation?
I don't know.
Tiki's running the tights. Do you stop the 40 and go run
to
the locker room?
Stop. You have to stop. You just kind of stop and cover yourself and then walk
he
out.
He falls off. Down and lays down and slapping on his leg. 888-808-1019. All right, let's go back to those calls. Mike on Long Island. Mike, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I wanted to call and talk about the Jets quarterback situation. I would say I partially agree with the dart conversation. I could even see what Connor's saying. I as a longtime Jets fan, I could just see them going after Kirk. But I think the only right answer is Jameis Winston. I mean, it's going to be ugly football. I think the guy's going to throw picks. He's going to lose more games than he's going to win. But in terms of the impact on the organization, he's going to air the ball out. Garrett Wilson's going to be happy. He's going to look good. I mean, he made Jerry Jeudy look good. The guy was one or two bad years out of being out of the league.
Mike, I'm not anti this for the Jets, but I would just tell you this. I think any Jet move, you need to weigh, is this guy better than Tyrod Taylor? And the one thing we saw at the end with the Giants.
Because he's a vet.
He's a vet. Exactly.
Right. So if you're going to have a vet, you got to choose between one of them.
Right. Now, maybe you want both on the roster in case Taylor gets hurt, and that's fine. But to me, what was the strength of Tyrod Taylor at the end of the Giants, Mike? He was airing the ball out deep and getting those receivers involved.
Yeah, but does he have he's not a culture or locker room guy.
Oh, yes,
think.
He is.
No, I think you're wrong about that. Tyrod Taylor is loved. Everywhere he's been, I don't know if he was a captain with the Giants.
No, he wasn't because he was a backup.
Everybody looked at him as that emotional,
right,
like grounder. And I know he was that way in up in Buffalo.
Yeah, he was that way in Cleveland and the Chargers.
Everywhere he's gone, he's that player. He's so respected everywhere. Now I hear what he's he was saying though, because Jameis Winston is a prolific passer of the football.
Yes.
He will throw for 400 yards at least two or three times if he starts 16 games.
It's just a matter of what jersey he's throwing to.
And he'll throw for four or five touchdowns. I'm just praying for the Lord to
deliver me from pick sixes.
But he'll throw three or four pick sixes as well. All right, so he's great from a production standpoint, but terrible from a production standpoint at the same time.
Okay, and I know that a television show you can't always garner everything from, but I am a savant of Hard Knocks, and I've watched every single season, no matter what the type, every single episode. Tyrod Taylor's been on quite a few Hard Knocks, including the Chargers, including the Browns, where it was so evident you walk away from those five episodes going, oh, okay, that's a dude that the locker room completely rallies around. And that was, he was with rookie quarterbacks, I think, in both, and you could tell, like, he spoke up on leadership on both. That's where I think that he's misled, Mike, is that he's absolutely a leadership guy.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if anybody saw the in-season Hard Knocks, and I know we get football overload, they covered the whole AFC North this year, and I think I'm the only one on the show that's watched it still. You could tell in Cleveland just by watching a television show how you went from, oh, this is cool, Jameis is a dude, to, oh, we are so tired of this act. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he's a great locker room leader, but you get the vibes that he's like,
it gets overwhelming.
Yeah, it gets to be like too
it's
much.
It's not that it's bad ever. It's just that it's overwhelming.
Where the message becomes, all right, we get
and
it.
And if he's a starter, I think it's probably fine.
Right.
Like if he's the guy, you're not worried about it because that's just going to be what the personality of your offense is going to be. But if he's not your starter and he's a bit player in some capacity, it could be overwhelming. That's all I'm saying.
Everybody's friends like that. We're like, oh. Okay.
Mike Mamula, 38 and a half inch vertical.
Jeez.
26, but remember, I did 30, my vertical was 34, 5, something like that, whatever Evan told me yesterday. 26 reps at 225. He had a Wonderlic score of 49, which is the second best in NFL history still. And he ran a 4.5 40 at 240-something pounds.
And didn't have the college tape to back it up. He was Boston College?
Boston College.
Yep.
So he was a good player at Boston College, but his combine made him a stud.
Man, bring me back to the days where the Eagles were bad drafters. Please.
No, they are not that anymore.
888-808-1019. How about Tim and Kopeg? Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, man?
So my wife actually used to work for Guinness World Records. And
what
you
was her job?
Don't need to have one of their people on site to get a record. You do need to go through like a wild amount of paperwork to do it.
Okay.
But if he set theoretically a world record, then of all people, the NFL should be able to get the paperwork together to get him that record.
So Tim, maybe it was a situation where the NFL was like, we have enough going on. We're not going to push Guinness for this. And it was up to, they
but left I know, it. I know you're right. It was the longest broad jump. Ever.
Right. And maybe they left it in the player's hand, but Byron Jones is a rookie. He isn't going to be pushing Guinness to put him in there.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. But a lot of the times they would make like events out of this too. So to have them at the combine would be, I mean, I just feel like it would make sense just in case something like this were to happen on the, off chance.
Right. Because there's elite,
they're there.
Right. There's elite athletes, Tim. Right. So you could get a, whether it's a vertical leap or the 40 yard dash, it could happen. I wonder what the Guinness record is for the 40-yard.
Mm. I mean, probably a track runner.
I don't know, because the fastest track runners are slow starters, right?
Because was Usain Bolt a slow starter?
Yes. Getting out of the blocks, he was terrible. I mean, he ultimately broke the world record in 9.58, I think it was, because he learned to get a decent start, and he'd pick up speed as he would go along.
It's got to be in the threes, the world record. Has to be.
No way. Three something?
We see 4.2s all the time in the NFL.
According to the internet, Worthy has the record, and he broke John Ross's. So
I'm talking about the Guinness
World Record. Yeah, he has the Guinness World Record for the fastest 40-yard dash is held by Xavier Worthy.
Is that right?
According to the internet.
The internet never lies.
Yeah, I mean, is that AI? If that's the case, that means Guinness is at the combine or prepared to do that. So
or maybe they are now.
Mm.
You mean so Bolt ran a 4.22 40-yard dash in 2018.
Wow.
The internet is telling me.
And that's the same as Worthy.
No, Worthy ran a 4.21.
Oh, okay.
And John Ross had the 4-2-2. So maybe Ross and Usain Bolt had the 4-2-2
right.
that Worthy broke. That's crazy. Them, an NFL player would be the fastest 40.
I know.
Right?
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, Usain Bolt ran the 100-meter dash in just under 10 seconds. So I would imagine his first 40 yards would have had to have been faster.
Well,
right?
No, he got fast,
how many
he
yards
got faster.
Are in a meter?
His second half was faster than his first.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So 100 meters, like 240s? Is that what we're doing?
40 what? Yards. It's like about 100 yards.
It's 55.
Okay.
100 meters is 110 yards.
Okay. Oh, all right. So it's double that. So you're, to your point, gets cooking on that second half.
Right.
That's usually how I eat my hamburgers. Usually I'm slow biting, then I get to those last bites, and I gobble them way up. All right. Let's hit Dwight in Asbury Park. Dwight, what's up?
Yes, you guys were talking about the 40 time. There were two track guys that ran faster than that. Christian Coleman at 4:12,
wow.
And another guy, Kalen Walker from the University of Iowa, ran a 4:15.
Dwight, I love that you just gave us an answer. Can I ask how the heck you know that offhand?
I know.
I saw footage of both of them on Twitter, and they were flying.
Okay. All right. I respect that, Dwight.
The internet confirms what Dwight is saying. 4:12.
And that's the Guinness record?
I don't know. I put in Guinness record and it had Xavier Worthy, but the internet's telling me Christian Coleman, 4:12, 40-yard dash.
Mm.
Is this also the same Guinness as the beer company or no?
No. Okay. Hmm? What's up?
Hey, Tiki, you said you were a track guy while you were in high school?
More of a jumper than a runner.
Hey, look out for the NCAA championships will be next month. Look for a sprinter named Jamarion Stalls from Alabama State.
Okay.
He ran the new SWAC record in the 200 meters, 20.3. That's right. Wow. Now that is number three in the three in the country.
Wow, that's flying.
Fifth nationally.
That is flying. Thanks, Dwight. I'll check that out.
Appreciate it, Dwight. Wow. That's you know how Evan is with minor league baseball? Yeah, Dwight's that with track.
Right.
That's awesome.
But if you're into track, you're into track.
Of course.
I love track and field.
Yeah. You know, Rondé was a good hurdler.
He was until the hurdles got too tall for him.
Is that right?
Yes. They go up 3 inches in college, and he just couldn't get over it.
Because he was shorter? Because
he's 5'9".
I tell you,
most hurdlers are tall. They're like 6'2", 6'3".
I didn't realize that. Look, I've been all over. I was Rondé's love in high school, the track. He was a hurdler. He used to jump into the sand pit. I'm well-versed in the barbers. Check out the ACC Network documentary. I loved it. 888-808-1019. Steve in Denville. Steve, what's up?
Steve?
Okay.
What's up,
yeah,
man?
I have a sad story. I've been a season ticket holder for the Jets for 56 freaking years. And my first year was when they won the Super Bowl. So I've seen a lot of bad football. But my point is that I got really good seats. I sit in the second row behind the end zone. Uh-huh. And I see all these other teams coming out of the tunnel. And their offensive and defensive lines are so much bigger than the Jets. I mean, when I saw Denver come out of the tunnel, they were all 6'4 and like 320 with their guts hanging over their belt. And they manhandled the Jets that game. I mean,
right. So Steve,
I understand
you're
the Jets are...
It's what I was saying. If you're gonna offensive lineman, better be massive.
They did draft Beckham,
yeah.
It didn't work out.
Right.
And the Jet defense is small too, but they're quick.
Steve, can I ask you what's so sad about that?
I know.
Sad. I've seen so much bad football, and every year I think about because the other guy said he's canceling his tickets, and every year I say, oh, especially when Rodgers was, I was so excited. And Rodgers tore his Achilles right in front of me.
That is sad, Steve. If only that's your only life problem.
That's a good life problem to have.
That's a good reason to be sad.
Think about being, Steve was his name,
yeah.
Your season ticket holder for the Jets for 50 years. You've seen horrible football. And then you also have to see the guy's, as he called it, gut over the belt. And that's how he's basing the offensive line.
That's how you know you're going to lose.
That's why it was easier for Connor's dad to give up the season tickets. He wasn't close enough for the guts.
Now, where is Evan at as far as gut level? How can he see the gut over the belt? He's
no.
on the 50, right?
No, up top. You're not seeing guts.
No
top.
Guts.
He was second row behind the bench field level or behind the end zone field level. And this guy, and Evan's a millionaire. Once again, yeah. Evan just being a cheapskate.
I'm telling you, the time I sat the closest, I made this joke off, and I think he was one of your teammates. That's where I discovered that Kevin Booth had the weirdest ass I've ever seen.
Why? What, he's got a flat ass?
No, it's...
Like you take the air out of
when,
a balloon?
So when you get that close, and you know, Tiki's been in the locker room and everything, but like as a fan, it's jarring when football players are that big in front of you. You're used to sitting up top, so the first time I got to sit down there, Kevin Booth's doing the O-line warm-ups in front of me, and it just... Like misshaped, it was like if you took a bunch of pudding and you put it in two big Ziploc bags and put it as your butt cheeks. You know, some guys have like tight squat. It was just sloppy.
You're expecting it tight from.
I know. Like, what else? How would you expect it?
Like a Tiki ass. Tiki's got a great ass.
Chris Knee,
nice, tight, firm.
I appreciate that.
Chris Knee, Kareem McKenzie, David Deal,
nice asses.
It was like two honey hams sitting in football pants.
So they're doing the squats. They got the good squats going on.
Kevin Booth was not a honey ham. It was like a half-devoured turkey breast.
What the hell are you even talking about?
These are the things you think about when you sit down low for the first time. That's why Steve has a sad story.
This is why, ladies and gentlemen, you don't go to a football game hungry.
It's a good point. It wasn't a great tailgate, if I remember. It wasn't the same day I had the Mexican lasagna.
His ass looks like a honey ham.
Well, I mean, how else would you describe
it? I don't know, but not that.
A honey ham. 888-808-1019. We'll take your calls on the Jets, the Giants, the Yankees, and honey hams next. Plus, we do have to have an honest question. Did Evan Roberts escape his family already and head to spring training?
Sure. This is according to Shams here about 7 minutes ago. Mitchell Robinson has been upgraded to questionable to play and will make his next season debut as early as Friday against the Grizzlies.
That's great.
Or he will play on Sunday against Miami. So he's either going to be back Friday or Sunday.
Okay, which is obviously enormous. We heard the news earlier, Huck Porty out 4 to 6 weeks. Getting Mitch back. Look, that's the one thing internally the Knicks had that we have not seen this year. How different a team defensively will they look like with Mitch playing? And look, if he comes back Friday night, you're getting a Memphis Grizzly team with John Morant. It's basically a free pass to go dunk inside the lane. This is our best example of hope for the Knicks in if they will look any different versus elite teams is having Mitch back on the floor.
Yeah, when you defensively, also the offensive rebounding and some of the criticisms you've heard about this team, whether they're soft or the lack of energy or they're non-competitive against the elite teams, Mitchell Robinson will help. Now, Mitchell Robinson to me all year long has been that, I think almost labeled like the savior, like Knicks fans are thinking, well, when Mitchell Robinson comes back, he will absolutely help this team, but we have to make up 25, 35, 40 points that they're getting beat by the elite teams. I don't think Mitch will help from that degree as far as widening the gap to where it's 40 points, but he's absolutely a much welcomed addition and will help their deficiencies.
Okay, now football-related, Giants-related. The league came out, I guess, a couple hours ago and absolved the Raiders of any wrongdoing with tampering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not calling on the tampering thing. But within this...
We're talking about Matt Stafford.
Vincent Bonsignor.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's been covering the Raiders for a long time. The Raiders and Matt Stafford have apparently come to their own agreement on what a contract will look like.
Interesting.
So, with that, it is now back in the Rams' corner... of one of two things. A, do the Rams want to up their offer to Stafford? There's no word on what the actual, I'm trying to read through this, what the actual deal will be.
Right.
Up their offer and say, okay, you found somebody that will pay you what you're looking to pay. Can we do that? Or are the Raiders down the driver's seat where the Rams go, we've figured out that part. Are the Raiders willing to give us what we want for this?
Yeah, so there's two parts of this. One, Sean McVay, we heard from yesterday, was very open and honest about his dealings or their dealings with Matt Stafford, talking about the right now where they want Matt Stafford, but also keeping an eye towards the future because Matt Stafford is 37 years old. And it's really just a contract negotiation about how much they're going to pay him. They couldn't come to a consensus between the two of them. And so they gave Matt Stafford permission, or his agent, I should say, because it's not Matt, it's his agent, to go talk to other teams. Now, apparently, according to this report, they have an offer in place.
They have found common ground on what his new contract will
look really
like.
Not really an offer because it can't be an offer, but they kind of have a framework of what a Matt Stafford with the Las Vegas Raiders is going to look like.
Yes.
And now they go back to the Rams and say, are you going to match this? And if not, let's work out the trade details.
Yes.
That's what I'm taking from that report.
Exactly. And the Rams obviously are going to start by asking for the sixth overall pick from the Raiders if yes. they're going to do this. So, look, does this eliminate the Giants? I mean, not officially, mm-hmm. but if he's agreed to a contract, agreed, or at least the framework, it would be on the Giants to either match or up that, which we don't know what the offer is. And then if they were able to do that with Stafford, are they going to beat the Raiders' offer? Right. If the Raiders are going to offer the sixth overall, and we don't know that they will.
Yeah.
Giants can't do that with the third.
Well, here's the thing with this. This tells me the Giants are out of it.
Okay.
Mainly because the Giants are not going to get into a bidding war with the Raiders over a potential trade for Matt Stafford.
Right, especially if the Raiders feel like they're right there and they're going to do everything they can
exactly.
to do it. And the sixth overall pick is still very high. It's not the third overall pick.
Yeah. No, so yes, the Giants have more to offer, but I don't think the Giants are willing to give up the third overall pick.
So here's my prediction. I think Matt Stafford is going to go to the Raiders now. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to happen. I don't know, nor do I necessarily care what happens to the Rams.
They have the money to do it. The Raiders have $95 yeah. million in cap space. The Giants is just under 50 or so, just around there.
Yeah, but the Giants could also make, I think I saw something where it's like four contracts the Giants could change where they can get to like 90 themselves.
Right, right.
With the new advanced cap. Regardless, Pete Carroll, we talked about this. His mm-hmm. clock is small.
Right.
So you could get Stafford out there. Now, I said this yesterday, and it holds true. I feel like this Giants offseason, with how much Joe Shane keeps talking about the quarterback position
mm-hmm.
and how much there is pressure clearly from ownership to figure out who the face of this franchise quarterback-wise is yep. going to be, whether you believe in those two guys, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or not, from a fan's perspective, it kind of feels like a very empty offseason. If Stafford was there to be had, you don't get him, and you don't get either of the two young rookies. Like, if they go into next year with the third overall pick this year and it's Russell Wilson and maybe a second rounder on Kyle McCord or Jackson Dart, look, even if that ultimately ends up being good for the organization, it does feel empty from what this regime's at now, T.
No, I you're right. It feels like there needs to, I don't want to say a splash, but it feels like there needs to be somewhat of a splash for quarterback, or at least someone who's extraordinarily capable.
Yes.
Right, who's very capable of being consistent and a winner. And if you get anything less than that, and it's just underwhelming, it'll feel like such a letdown. Because we've gone into this offseason talking about so many different options, whether it's one of these young kids coming out of college that gives you at least hope for the future, whether it's one of these veterans who's been really good in their NFL careers and they're looking for a refresh or a new start, and they could come to the Giants and help them win right away. If you just get, like, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not going to feel exciting going into the 2025 season.
I'm going to make a prediction, and this doesn't mean yell and scream at me because I'm not even telling you I would do this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Joe Shane is going to make a trade with the Titans to go up and get the first overall pick. And it's going to involve giving up next year's first round pick, and it's going to make a lot of us want to throw up on our mouths.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're really sold and not desperate, pressured to go do that, then I'm okay with it. But I have to be convinced they're really sold on
who,
and I'm assuming it's Cam Ward.
I would too, because he has more, lesser floor for sure. I mean, we could argue about upside, but yeah, I would prefer Cam Ward too. I think there is some desperation. And by the way, I don't think that Joe Shane wouldn't make this move if he doesn't believe in him. I think he does believe probably in both quarterbacks. But I think he also knows I can't sit here at three and come up empty-handed, which takes me back to that Colts game.
Hmm.
The Giants were in control for that first overall pick.
Yeah.
And look, clearly Dabbs was coaching for his job, and the players should not have tried to. I'm not suggesting any of that.
You can't not try to win.
Not saying that. I'm just saying.
You have to.
I totally get it. I'm not even telling you they shouldn't have. It's just in hindsight, you look back, you go, damn, that win might have cost us an extra first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you guys stand. Maybe you guys think, you know what? No, they're going to stand pat. They're going to play the game. I think Shane's going to be aggressive here if he loses on Stafford, the trade-up for one.
Well, it feels like they've already lost on Stafford.
Yep.
Right? Because he's either staying with the Rams, which is what I predicted, or he's going to the Raiders. I don't know which one of you predicted that.
No, nobody did.
Nobody, yeah.
Me and Teak had Rams.
I had
Giants. And Evan had
Steelers.
He went Steelers, right?
Yeah, nobody
So
did.
We're all going to be wrong on that.
We're all going to be wrong before you've even pulled it. So where do you stay? Tommy, you're a Giant fan. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to. So I took a call on this last night, and I cut the guy off, and then I screamed at him, you know, via, you know, the radio. Because I knew where he was going with this, and I could already hear it now. And it starts with the thing you were talking about where you have either Russell Wilson, let's say you draft McCord or Will Howard. Arch Manning has done nothing at Texas. Nothing. Doesn't mean he's not going to be great. And I understand the last name. I understand the bloodline. I don't want to take calls for you on Arch Manning. He has done nothing at Texas.
He had one good game.
But Teak, they can't tank another season. John Mara is not going to sit there and allow this team to have 3 wins again in a season. Also, they can maybe draft Arch Manning. So to Sean's point, they have to come out with a quarterback, whether it's Stafford, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's Shador, whether it's Cam Ward, whether Jackson Dart. They can't go with Russell Wilson in this idea, well, we'll tank again for Arch Manning, a guy that hasn't even played at Texas.
He basically
comes in as a gimmick to run around.
And he may not be coming out next year anyway.
Which I don't think a lot of people even realize. Most people think, oh, you'll... So now we're going to be in a situation here where the Giants are tanking for 3 or 4 straight years just to maybe get Arch Manning.
Look, we got to stop using the word tanking. They're going for it.
Right. You know what that sounds like? The process.
Right.
Yep. The Philly process. And nobody wants that. It did not work, and it still hasn't worked.
Nope.
And so...
Better hope Cam Ward's not Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you better hope that whoever you end up with, whether it's one of these young guys or a veteran, helps you win right away, and we stop talking about the quarterback. Because it's been since Eli's last year, we're talking about, really the last couple of years, we're talking about quarterbacks for the New York Giants. And that's a long time to have uncertainty about who the starter is. Now, Daniel Jones had some good seasons there. I'm not knocking his career, you know, as I don't know, up and down as it was, but the Giants have had a quarterback issue for a decade now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The end of Eli and the beginning of Daniel Jones. So, Tommy, Giants straight up for the number one overall pick. Is it more, oh my God, what are they doing? Or are you excited?
I'm excited for that. I still think we could debate on whether Shador or Cam. I think Shador has the higher upside.
That'll be the next level.
Yeah, Cam Ward, I think, fits more.
As soon as Stafford goes, then that's the conversation.
Yep. Yep.
Because who else do you want?
I think Aaron Rodgers is an interesting name. Now,
it is, but it isn't.
Because I think he's so motivated to stick it to the Jets.
I hear you.
He showed he could play.
So, but what do you do? Do you?
I think
Aaron Rodgers and then Dart?
What do you do?
Aaron Rodgers might have a taker in the Titans if they give up the number one overall pick, too, by the way.
100 different hands on my body.
I think you could still do the plan I had for Stafford where you bring in Rodgers and you take Carter or Hunter at 3 and you sort of punt down the line for the quarterback. I'm not saying that this is not the Arch Manning thing because you'd be trying to win.
You mean punt in 2026.
Yeah, because you go with Rodgers, you go with Carter, and again, I think Aaron Rodgers is so motivated show up the Jets.
You have a GM and coach that maybe felt like they got an extra lifeline because they haven't taken a quarterback. If they miss out on Stafford, I feel like they're going to do all they can to take the quarterback. Mm.
The clock's ticking. They're definitely going to make it. I know we didn't have the audio, but Joe Shane said big swing at the combine. Yeah. They're going to do something.
And I think a big swing is true. I'm prepping every Giant fan for this. Tiki, are you excited or nervous if they do this?
If
they trade up to number one after losing out on Stafford.
Well, if they trade up to number one, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I actually would appreciate the clarity.
Okay. Right? All right. That's a good way to look at it.
But it won't happen until probably draft day. Right? We're not going to, you might hear some rumblings that the Giants are talking about it, but didn't we hear the rumblings about what the Giants were doing all offseason last year and they did none of it?
I'd have to look back because the couple times this happened, the Bear-Panther trade happened a year in advance, but we didn't know they had the number one pick. When the Jets trade up to 3 for Darnold, I believe that happened right after the combine because these teams are. I have to go back to these trades have happened. Do they happen right before draft night?
I think the majority of Giant fans, or at least the ones we hear from, will be mad at the Giants for trading up to the number one overall pick. They have more needs. Neither one of these guys are Peyton Manning or whatever. They're not, John Elway.
Yeah, they're not foolproof prospects.
Right. So why would you trade all these assets to get there?
I wonder if the Titans and Giants would also be more behooved to want to do this right around the beginning of free agency to know what their alternative plans is. Because maybe, like, if the Giants trade up to one, they may prefer to try to get that done before March 6th or 8th, so they're not going, maybe they do settle for a Jameis Winston at $2.5 million instead of going to pay big money for Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean?
No, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because I mean, then it frees up your money to build the rest 100%. Of the roster.
And that's going to be the issue is because we're talking about the draft a lot, but there's also free agency.
Yes, and free agency comes first.
Right.
Man, this is tricky. So, again,
it's tricky now because of Matthew Stafford seemingly in bed already with the Raiders.
So if you're just tuning in, there is framework in place for a contract extension between the Raiders and Matt Stafford, but now it goes to the next pillar. Will the Rams actually trade him? 888-808-1019. Rick in Ronkonkoma. Rick, what's up?
This is Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's going to want a big contract. The Giants have no money. So why would they take him? They should just stay where they are.
Well, they do have money, just, Rick.
But they only got $48 million. That's where their capital is, $48 million, right?
It's 52, and they have like four guys they could easily restructure. The common guys, Thomas, Lawrence, and I think get rid of Nacho.
Yeah.
And it would get him up to, I think I read somewhere like $86 to $92 million, especially with the expanded cap. So that's actually, the Giants are in healthy cap position right now. But regardless, that conversation is probably bunk if Stafford is going to the Raiders. Justin and Dobbs Ferry. Justin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just releasing that news, it sounds like it's adding up to the Giants' nightmare scenario where there's no quarterback available. They don't know what to do. They're sitting there at three. Carter might be injured. So, he might have gone first or second, so they would have had somebody available at three. Now it sounds like it might be like a Matt Jones, Gardner Minshew kind of error for if everybody starts losing out. If Stafford goes, if Roger goes somewhere else, now what are they stuck with at that position?
Yeah.
That's like the nightmare. That's the ultimate nightmare scenario.
It is. It's a big nightmare scenario.
I haven't eaten dinner yet. Can we not talk about Mac Jones for the Giants?
Stop.
My God. But that's my point. So his point on the nightmare scenario is exactly why I think they're going to be aggressive. They're going to be. And if you're the Titans, too, and you are open saying, you know what, maybe we don't love Ward or Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
If you only go back to three, the Giants are taking a quarterback. We know what the Browns are doing. I'm either going to get Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Right.
And if I'm going to get those and get the Giants first round pick and they'll bank on the Giants stinking and being at the top of the draft next year. Like, that's a genius move for Tennessee.
Right.
If you don't love the quarterbacks and then you're not going all the way back. And you still get the player you want. Mark in Southern California. Mark, what's up?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing? Two things I wanted to touch on real fast. Sean, you were pretty close when we were talking about the facial hair of the New York Yankees and so forth and the Steinbrenners back then.
Yeah.
As I was speaking to the gentleman about that, coming up as a kid, during that Vietnam War era, there was two types of players black back then who, that I guess Steinbrenner saw. One being white was Bill Walton and a Phil Jackson. Mm. They were considered, when they had that facial hair and the way they kept it unneaten, not well-groomed, they were considered the hippie. The black side, the guys were considered more militant. So I understood what George Steinbrenner was saying. Now, flash forward to the son. The son is said, when he said that they can wear it, he said, well, groomed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at most of these players that make so much money, they can actually have their barbers fly with them to wherever they got to go to keep their beards neat. Trey Young, straight trash when you look at his beard. He's a maxed out contract guy.
Yeah. No, I hear you saying it.
To look like that.
Right, it doesn't look professional.
Right, none of that. And now with the Knicks, I wish, and I'm glad you guys are saying it, this is their first year having these people together. I wish people would stop saying contender championship right now.
Blame Loogie, man.
Boston.
Right.
6-7 years it took to get where they are, and they had Jaylen
Brown
and Justin Tate.
That's a good point.
There's a Mark.
It's got to stop.
Mark, thank you. I don't think you're wrong. Just remember this, though, about Tatum and Brown. They were also drafted really young by that organization.
Yeah.
Brunson, Towns, these guys have already lived their first contracts and come over here.
Right. And so they're more. His point about them being new together is true.
I mean,
even Brunson, Hart, and those guys are only a couple of years, and now Cat's only been here for half the season or a little bit over half the season.
Doubt.
And so,
but I can't give him as long a runway as the Celtics because of
not.
Age.
You can't look. The Knicks window is probably 3 years, 4 years maybe, 3 or 4 years. It's not seven.
Right.
This team got put together. Those guys were ridiculously young when they were drafted.
And tack on all the minutes they play. And, you know, if you have a couple deep playoff runs.
Yes, exactly.
That adds up on the body toll. Wouldn't you agree, Tommy?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say that they're not stuck with this roster. I think that's what we got to get past
here. Well,
this
season they are.
This season. But I'm saying in this window, there are things they can do. They could get rid of Mitchell Robinson. They can bring in a Clint Capella. They can change the role players who do add to a championship team. Like, we saw that with KP. We saw that with Holiday. We've seen that with Robert Horry when he used to bounce around. There are players they could bring in to help this championship team. Now, it ultimately comes down to Brunson and Cat, the two stars, being the stars of stars to win a title. But there are things they could do to this roster. It doesn't mean that they went all in. They failed. They're not going to win a title this year. We'll see. Mitchell Robinson obviously coming back is going to help them. But Mark said the exact same things I was saying. It's just they could still win in this window. There's things they can change on this roster.
For sure. Marcus in Pennsylvania. Marcus, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Sean, this is more towards you, you're a Giant fan. And I know the Giants want to make a splash. But I'm thinking you trade back. A couple of picks, get some draft capital, get the offensive lineman from LSU, then use that draft capital to come back into the first round and get another offensive tackle and build up the. Because even if you draft if you sign an Aaron Rodgers or Matt Stafford, they're going to be running for their lives. And free agency hasn't worked for the Giants as far as offensive linemen.
It's like DeShaw and
Mangold.
Yeah, no, last year, by the way, Runyon and Illuminor did work. I don't think your idea is crazy. And I think Tiki agrees. We took a caller on this earlier about Will Campbell from LSU. Just like completely just take an off season and go, let's get this.
Right.
Completely right.
The challenge is the Giants got to win. You got to feel better about the team than you did last year.
And this goes back to something that cannot change. Okay? It's over with. If the Giants had gotten rid of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and really just scrapped this, everything that every caller has brought on the table about what's best for this organization would be on the table because you would have a new organization that feels like, all right, I have time before I need to figure out the quarterback.
Bingo.
They don't have time to figure out the quarterback.
No, you're right. So that's why a veteran feels like the most likely solution to get you successful in winning.
Yep.
And you can do all those other things, or at least try to in free agency and maybe some with the draft, but you got to have somebody competent at playing quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yep.
And Joe Shane even said this on the first day of the combine that we heard earlier in the week. We just have to have better quarterback play.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't know. We don't know where that is. We don't know what that means. Yeah. I know that they talked to Matt Stafford, but it seems like that boat is sailing right now. We know that the draft is available via Cam Warden, Shedeur Sanders, but currently they're not in position to take one of those guys.
Yep.
And so, question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely.
endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you get stuck with these afterthought type players, and that's not, I don't think that's good enough.
No,
I don't think
it's
going to be. They're not going to be elevators to the team that needs an elevator at that position.
The Steelers just made the playoffs with Russell Wilson, who was there for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they also had Russell Wilson start over Justin Fields. Those are two of the higher names that are going to be out there.
Right.
The Steelers are a really well-run organization, and we are clamoring at this point, going, "Look, get us one of those guys."
Right.
Well, if they were such great solutions, why would the Steelers, who just made the playoffs, and Mike Tomlin
right.
let them run out of the building? All right, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. Thank you, SNY.
This might be reckless speculation on my part, but I think a reason why Joe Shane, Brian Daboll were kept is because maybe John Mara pushed Daniel Jones on them, and he feels like, look, I believed in Daniel Jones. I pushed him on you guys. Get me that quarterback, develop the quarterback, and win. They're not going to trade back to build an offensive line. That's not why they were brought back. They were brought back to get a quarterback, develop the quarterback, and win football games.
Even if fundamentally it does sound juicy.
I know.
The first call that brought that up a couple hours ago, more thought about, damn, that would look really good.
Right.
I know that, but Sean.
The one thing I'm envious about the Jets last year, after signing Tyron Smith, drafting Olu Fashanu,
right.
even though they had two starting tackles in place.
Right, you assured that you had depth,
yeah,
and it gave the kid a little bit of time because ultimately he ended up having to play some. Yeah. It gave him time to figure out what it's like to be an NFL player. Not a starter, but an NFL player.
And the people like Connor and his dad just don't appreciate good drafting like that. Getting rid of season tickets.
Well, you know, we've had enough. But if the Giants, the last 2 years we've been talking about tanking and the Giants and tanking, if they don't take a quarterback here and they start slow again, we're going to have the same conversations about tanking
again. I'm
going
to rip my hair out. Yeah, I don't have any,
you
but
have
I
to get a quarterback.
I'm so sick of people on the show talking about tanking in October. I can't take it.
Well, if Evan was here, he'd be yelling at you right now because now you're basically suggesting the Giants to draft a left guard in the first round. You're the Mr. Tank. They won 3 games, 1 game at home, and now it sounds good that if they get a right tackle, they have to get a quarterback.
I just said they're going to trade up to one. They got to get a quarterback.
No, but you're liking the idea of them drafting a offensive lineman in the top 10.
I'm saying it does sound good, but I understand that it's not the reality.
Right.
At all. I also hate the idea they're picking third overall and not first or second. I've said this from the get-go. This was my whole point on why, in my mind, I'm like, it's okay to lose because I didn't want to have to trade future draft capital on a swing on something that may not work out. And guess where we are? Probably there at the precipice of hell, Helen.
Right.
Remember those books back in the day where you would get to like page 12 and you'd have multiple options? Do you remember that? Hey, you could skip to 25 or you could stay on 13,
oh,
and
yeah,
the story
yeah.
would change.
Ending. Yeah,
I
yeah.
feel like that's what the Giants are. Like, the path or the end of this is not clear. Do they end up with Stafford? Is it Rodgers? No. Is it Shador? And ultimately what they do end up on is going to shape the next year. There's just like an uneasiness right now and like an anxiety because this franchise is coming off the worst year in franchise history. And like, we all just we might be coming from different places, but we just all want the Giants to be good again. That's all we want.
Think about these couple things right now, okay? We have no idea if Jason Dominguez could field in the outfield.
Well, he can't catch.
We have no idea who the Giant quarterback is going to be, and it's probably not going to be Matt Stafford. We have no idea if the Knicks could beat the Celtics. I mean, all of these things have added up.
But
we're supposed to be positive.
We built this
up. The Jets have Kirk Cousins on the way.
Yeah, you really won't get off the Cousins train.
We all thought Stafford was going to be a Giant, and now it's like, oh, no, he's not.
We're not allowed to have nice things. You know what this means? Screw the calories. Tonight, Reese's Pieces Sunday.
you were going to do that anyway.
Yeah. No, I was not on a Thursday.
Why you were thinking about it for the last 2 hours.
And that peanut butter sauce is so good. Speaking of which, you know, now I got to say this too about food. Okay, this is a very Long Island thing. Tiki, you have them in Jersey. This Wegmans. You ever
Wegmans.
Been?
Unbelievable.
Okay. for the first time.
Tracy shops there once a week. Okay. And if you need a full meal, you can get a full meal.
So it's worth the hype.
It is. Like, where are you going? To Jersey?
No. Okay, here's what happened.
It is worth the hike if it's far.
The first one ever on Long Island opened on Wednesday, yesterday. All right.
Was it loaded to the gills?
Loaded to the gills. They had to shut down streets and call Suffolk County Police
to
direct traffic. Okay. People lined up. I'm not kidding. It opened its doors, I think, at 7 or 8 a.m. on Wednesday. And there were people, the first person in line lined up with a tent at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the day before. People cannot get in this place right now on Suffolk County, Long Island.
It's worth it.
It's a supermarket.
It's worth it.
But people are lined up against a Madden release.
I'm just telling you it's worth it.
So you would line up the day before if you've never had Wegmans to wait outside a tent?
No, I wouldn't, but
would your wife?
She might.
So what does that mean, a full meal? What does that mean?
Like, you can go get fully cooked meals.
Okay.
And it's unbelievable. Like, we cater when we have events at our house. We cater them through
Wegmans?
Yes.
All right. Now you're making me maybe feel like I have to spend my Sunday there.
I used to be a Wegmans cashier.
Are you serious?
Oh, 100%.
That must have got you a lot of dates.
People go crazy for the Sunday at Wegmans. You will never work harder in your life being a cashier on a Sunday at Wegmans.
Better not be a football Sunday, as Sean would tell you. Better not be shopping on a football Sunday.
So I shouldn't go anywhere near this place the opening Sunday.
No way. Unless you really want to get the full experience of how crazy it is.
Full meal here.
Is it like a...
Oh, you can.
Is Wegmans almost like a Buc-ee's? Like, I love Wawa. They should be in New York. But Buc-ee's,
no.
You get more.
I get the vibe.
You see the comp that I'm trying to make here?
I get the vibe. It's like a bigger Stu Leonard's. I don't know. Is that a fair comp?
I don't know Stu Leonard.
I've only been there once to Wegmans in PA because my buddies live down there. So I've only been there once, and it was to buy alcohol, but there was food.
I can't believe you were freaking Wegmans cashier. He had no idea I was going there with the 70.
Used to be able to scan 48 items per minute.
Oh, very popular with
are
the ladies.
You
I'm telling you. And I knew every code for every veggie and fruit.
Are you shit? Wow. Good for you. Yeah. Best thing to get there. He's saying a full meal. What do you get?
Oh, I used to get pizza slices. That was about it.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.